I'm telling these tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom,
welcome, everybody. Happy Monday. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every Monday at 3 p.m., I am joined by a terrific guest from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Today, I'm really excited to be joined by Miss Shannon Baker Brandstetter. She is the Senior Director of Domestic Climate and Energy Policy. Welcome to the show, Shannon. It's great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me, Maggie. Great to be here.
Donald Trump, during the first week of his presidency, took a number of actions that many believe will set the United States back quite a bit as it comes to it when it comes to addressing climate change. And at the outset, Shannon, I wanted to ask you a baseline question, because it seems to me that these issues are presented as sort of a false choice, which is, one is drill, baby, drill, energy independence, affordable energy, you know, you're not going to go broke at the pump, or everything's going to cost five times what it does today. You can't buy the car that you want, and we're never going to be able to pump gas into our vehicles ever again. And that's not the choice that America or the world faces, is it?
Absolutely not. I'd say it's an even different choice that we can choose to invest in clean energy and climate solutions and have a livable environment and affordable housing and affordable insurance. Or we can choose to continue to handing money to fossil fuel companies and have bigger climate related disasters and less money in our pockets. I think that there are lots of contradictions in the executive orders that have come out this week, for sure.
And he framed this as trying to address the energy emergency in the United States. Is there an energy emergency in the United States? Is there an energy emergency or shortage worldwide? Like, what is he exactly talking about? How do we get our heads around this?
There is a climate emergency, and I think the only energy emergency we're facing now is that electricity prices are going to be going up because of AI data centers, crypto data centers, et cetera. So I think that the emergency is really not based on what regular Americans need and are facing. I think his emergency that we need to pump more oil, give more giveaways to natural gas companies, that's really not a solution that any of us are looking for.
And that is such an important point, Shannon. Let's just stick there for a minute. And that is, you know, the United States produced more oil during the Biden administration, created more energy than it did during the Trump administration. There was no quote unquote EV mandate. There were goals and targets that Joe Biden had articulated. But I think the thing that trips people up most is that regular consumers, middle class families, are not the biggest consumers of energy. We sort of, you know, are the tail that's getting wagged by the dog, right? We're not the major biggest consumers of energy. And as we see AI and especially crypto grow, the amount of energy as well as cooling systems and water for these data centers and these major processing centers is exploding. Certainly the announcement today from China is major. We're watching tech stocks stumble all day long. So I think it's important for people to understand what consumers require, middle class families require, versus what industries require, and who really is benefiting by the Donald Trump set of policies. So thank you for making that clear, Shannon. I wanted to ask you about Donald Trump's withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accords. If I recall correctly, there are only three other countries in the world that are not part of the climate accords from Paris. And those three countries are Iran, Libya, and Yemen. Seems odd company for the United States to be with.
Yes, definitely not the typical company that we'd like to share on an international agreement or disagreement in this case. I think that while there are lots of things that US companies and US nonprofits and NGOs will continue to do, this is definitely a setback on the US leadership in the world. It sends the wrong signal and frankly cedes a lot of leadership to China and other countries that are still going to move forward. So I think that the writing is on the wall of moving to clean energy. It's a matter of how much is the US going to lead versus get behind.
The other thing I wanted to talk about is, to me, a fascinating fact about the Paris Climate Accords and much of this discussion of cleaner energy is that oil companies and big energy, as you would have it, support these initiatives in part because they want to see consistent regulatory systems, that it is very dislocating, more so for smaller businesses, but also for mega corporations like Exxon, et cetera, when the regulatory structures and our approach to these fundamental generational public policy issues seems to oscillate 180 degrees depending on who's in the White House, and therefore the United States shirking its global leadership role, leading to more fracturing of the regulatory systems on a worldwide basis. Is this a fair observation, Shannon? And how should regular people translate that regulatory chaos into their, why does that matter to them?
Yeah, no, I think that you're absolutely right. I think that businesses do thrive in a more predictable environment, and people want to see stability in prices and what's available on the store shelves, on their electricity prices. And when we see companies and corporations that can plan and predict, then that does help lower costs for everyone. I think on the climate agreements, while yes, there are some gas and oil companies that were supportive, there were plenty that were not as well around the world. And we do see their presence at the climate summits that happen every year. Mm-hmm. And so that influence is really negative, I think, and does stymie a lot of progress. So while it's a mixed bag, I think, on the fossil fuel industry of how supportive they are of regulations, I think, as you mentioned, it is the smaller companies and also just the smaller players. Automakers, yes, are big players, but not compared to oil companies. And so they definitely feel a lot of the disruption with the back and forth of regulations. You mentioned electric vehicles, for example, and manufacturers, the major automakers, were on track to continue their investments in electric vehicles because they are becoming more and more affordable, they're becoming better and better, and that is what is being increasingly bought around the world. So if domestic automakers want to have a strong export market, they need to really speed up on electric vehicles. And so the incentives that the Biden administration put in place to help make them more affordable are so important for domestic manufacturing, domestic jobs, as well as domestic prices for consumers.
There's so much here to unpack. And one of the things that, as we talk about, like, where does big oil, where do these energy companies sit in terms of these issues? There's no light switch here, pardon the use of an energy pun to make my point. Nobody's moving from oil and gas and into clean energy or cleaner energy overnight. It simply doesn't work that way. Our infrastructure isn't ready to do that anyways. And so looking at how oil and gas and energy companies react to this is always fascinating. Like, what exactly is their motivation? Oh, if we start moving towards cleaner energy and we're producing less oil and gas, does that drive the price of oil and gas up to their benefit? So I think it's always beneficial for people to think a few steps ahead, right? And to not just take where we sit today as, well, it, of course, it has to be this way into perpetuity in the future, or we have to change this immediately tomorrow, because it simply won't work like that in this space for a whole gamut of reasons. When we talk about EV and cleaner energy, can you tell folks why those are some of the fastest growing industries, not just here in the United States, but worldwide, and why it's so important for the United States to lead?
With both EVs and renewable energy, there are not the regular maintenance costs and the operating costs, the fuel costs, they're all much, much lower compared to fossil fuels. And so once you install a solar array or once you install a wind farm, they really require very little maintenance and you have free it's renewable energy. And so I think that that is really fantastic for, you know, consumers, for buyers of energy, as well as for the environment. And so with fossil fuels, though, we do see an entrenched industry that has a certain way of doing business and a lot of capital to throw around. And so I think a few years ago, you had some of the major oil companies say announcing big energy efficiency and big renewable investments. And then they've really pared them back in the last few years, because one of the great things about renewable energy and the electric vehicle market too, is that it doesn't really favor just one or two players. There are lots of companies in the space, which makes it truly competitive, which is what I thought the capitalist model wanted, was competition. But apparently,
except when they don't, right?
Except when they don't. Apparently not when it comes to oil and gas. Then we want a monopoly.
Folks, that is Shannon Baker-Brandstetter. She is the Senior Director of Climate and Energy Policy for the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Our conversation is going to continue after these brief messages, talking about what can Wisconsin families expect at the pump as we move forward in Trump 2.0. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. We've got plenty of it coming up. More with Shannon. I've got Dom Salvia joining me at 3:30. He's got that fantastic show that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. We're going to talk a little bit about Davos and crypto and the billionaire bros and the tech bros and the tax code and all of that good stuff, all coming up at 3:30. But we got more with Shannon from the Center for American Progress after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. One burning to flame.